coming up on this episode of The Village Idiom.
What goes down a blind alley and has holes in it?
What goes down a blind alley and has holes in it?
Batman's parents.
Wow.
Dum, dum, da-da, Village Idiom.
Hello and welcome to the... Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to... Hello and welcome to The Village Idiom.
We are a podcast that every week chooses a popular saying to take an admittedly shallow, hopefully comedic, once in a while interesting, if we're super lucky, educational dive into its meaning, into its usage, into its origins, but... mostly, we're going to use it to hang our otherwise directionless conversation on. My name is Jurassic Mark.
And I am skinny, except not so much. Just rolled off an amazing 3-week vacation.
I know, both of us.
Yes.
We should have planned
it. Well, you were working hard.
Yeah, it's true. Mine was a work trip, but
I was not working.
There was some sightseeing involved as well.
Of course. That's how you make a really good work trip.
So tell us all the places you've been.
Well, it was really Scandinavian.
Scandalous
Scandinavian cruise. So we did a few days in London and then off to Denmark and Germany.
Did you see London?
I saw London.
Did you see France?
I didn't see France, but I did see underpants. Mine. In a mirror because I can't see over my gut now. Denmark, off to Germany, then to some Sweden, then Estonia, then Finland. And
wow.
Then to Norway.
Wow.
Yeah, I took That's it awesome. In. Yeah, I had pickled herring. I did it all.
That's amazing.
Oh!
Say it.
Well, it's so stupid. There's like a handful of people who would even care, which is perfect because if you take a handful of people and then take a handful of those people.
They care.
The Village Idiom Podcast. Okay. Okay, yeah. I went to Supercell. Exactly.
I don't know what that means.
Supercell is the...
Isn't that a movie with...
It's the people who do my video game that I like. My Clash of Clans.
Oh.
Yeah, so I went to their headquarters, which has like all like
large... What country is that?
That is in Helsinki in Finland.
Huh.
I went to Spotify.
Wow.
Went to IKEA. IKEA.
IKEA spot. Yeah. You just visit corporations?
Yeah.
And this is vacation. I thought I was on a business trip.
Yeah, it was...
You're just vacationing Lego, while I'm...
Lego's from Denmark, and so we went... Lego stores in Denmark.
No way.
We wanted to, like, oh, you're in Denmark and Lego, but it turns out that there's, like, Lego... Cruise the factory. I'm looking for a word. A tour of the factory.
Sure.
But it's like a 3-day, like, multi-$1,000 ordeal to,
oh,
like...
Oh, my goodness.
Factory tour.
So, really?
I know. It's not just, like, roll in, build a Lego man, and leave. Which is how I would run a factory tour.
They have a gift shop, at least. You could just go in there.
I'm sure they have something. They're like bunk beds that you have to make yourself. It's crazy. Yeah, so anyways. Yes, it was good. Heading up really cool places with like old towns. And
did you see any castles?
Of course. I saw the castles. I saw the palaces.
Nice.
Yes, crown jewels.
Did you see Buckingham?
I didn't go to Buckingham.
No.
Yes, I did.
Okay, thanks for...
Yes, I saw so many things.
That,
I had to.
That memorable?
I was thinking Windsor, as you said, Buckingham. Yes, we went to Buckingham. There's like, everything is great and awesome.
I only went to one country.
What was your country?
Switzerland.
That's fantastic. Did you have chocolates?
I did.
Did you buy knives?
I bought...
Well, did you have fondue?
I should have given you the gift I gave you off air, on air.
Yes.
Because I did bring you a knife.
But you did bring me something else.
Right, so this is on air. But I did... Do you have your knife? Or is it over yonder?
It's over yonder.
Whatever.
You know what? Talk about this and I'll go grab it.
Okay, I brought you... while you go get the other gift, because everybody tuning into YouTube is going to want to see this gift. I was going to get Skinny a legit Swiss Army knife. But then I remembered I had to go through security. So got you this Swiss Army knife. Which looks identical to a real Swiss. In fact, on YouTube, show the edge there, all the different options. Yeah. No, yeah, you can tell it's not real. I was going to say, maybe on YouTube it looks real. You're just too close.
That side, it does look real.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought they were pretty legit looking. They're just chocolates, but it looks like a Swiss Army knife. But the next gift I have for you, there's two drinks I always try and get while in Switzerland. One is, which I don't have for you, is called Rivella.
Okay.
And it's an odd flavored drink. I really like it. And there's three versions of it. But what makes it unique, it's a Swiss drink, Swiss specific drink.
Is it like their water or something that makes it amazing? Or
no, it's a milk byproduct.
That like cheese?
Milk. It's a dairy byproduct. So whatever they're doing in their dairy world, which the Swiss is known for their dairy and their cheeses, okay. They also have a pop.
Wow.
That's it milk? Doesn't taste like cheese or milk.
It's carbonated milk.
It looks like it's like fruity tasting ish.
Wow.
But it's just
like curdled. It's
their Rivella. So everywhere I go, I'm like, every restaurant, do you have Rivella blue, Rivella red? Yep. No problem.
I was going to put colors behind them to make it like Mountain Dew.
So red is their original.
Rivella red.
Blue is zero. Like their sugarless drink. But I brought you. So to be fair, this is not only Switzerland. In fact, I want to say it's
the general middle Europe.
Yeah, somewhere there. Somewhere close by. But anyway, it's called the Almendoodler.
Almendoodler?
Almendoodler.
You brought her. You Almendoodler.
And I think you'll enjoy it. You got a bottle opener here. This is also a bottle opener
I do bring.
Son got me. He rested on top and then give it a little.
That is awesome. The bottle opener is awesome. The Almendoodler is awesome.
Give it a little try. Tell me what you think it tastes like.
Cheers, illegitimate children.
Almendoodler. You brought her.
Almendoodler. I barely know her.
No Almendoodler.
Ooh, I'm a doodler.
Right?
It's pretty
good.
It is. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Enjoy.
Thank you. I'm going to enjoy that throughout the episode.
Today's episode has been brought to you by
Almond Doodler. Almond Doodler.
Anyway. Yeah. So
having a carbonated milk byproduct drink doesn't sound...
I've got one in the fridge, but it's for someone. It's
very,
so I would,
yeah, it sounds like a very special
I'll bring you thing. One next time. Trice, my son, said he called me while there. Can you bring me back that weird milk byproduct right. pop? So I got one in the fridge for him.
Bringing stuff back over the border. Picked up a couple of products that was... And I actually had one confiscated.
No way.
Yes.
What was it?
Reindeer sausage.
Why was it confiscated?
Apparently, so the border agent guy starts, okay, so what country of origin? Okay, this is from Finland. Okay, whatever. Next question, da-da-da-da-da. Goes through this whole little, like, online thing. Reindeer from Finland, whatever. Yep, this isn't allowed into Canada.
Really?
I was like, that sucks.
No way.
But I was allowed to bring in whale sausage.
So you got
whale at home.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to have whale at some point.
That's amazing.
Yes.
What, See, I brought home some Swiss sausage. But mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of meat it was. But I didn't get asked those
probably
kinds of
Franks.
Yeah. I didn't get
asked. Do they call their Swiss sausage Franks?
I didn't get asked those kinds of questions. I only got asked.
Well, when you enter that through the customs thing, it's like, are you bringing in? And it's like meat products. There's like that, all those things, or just say no to them all. Do you press the no to them all button?
I pressed no to them all.
Yeah, this didn't happen. You're such a kidder.
Shoot.
We're just such a kidder, Customs and Border Services.
Yikes. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Well, anyways,
we did. My reindeer got confiscated.
So Finland reindeer.
It makes no sense.
I mean,
you're basically just heading up these
Santa's actual reindeer.
You just, all these little weird corridors that you have to work your way through. And you don't know what's around a corner when you deal with the border people. Do you have any idea what I'm doing right now?
Well, I'm trying to remember. Oh, right. That's like, which one?
When you try to navigate through the border system and you don't know what's coming up next, it reminds me of a little idiom.
Okay, this is an old. You got to listen closely to this.
Steering a poor dope up blind alleys with that grafting tailor mother's low enough, but
it was weaved in there.
Is she drinking?
I know, right? This is like a lot of.
It's slur, very slurry.
Here, not, maybe this one's more clear.
She's not using slurs, but
he's making a big show. Going after Huggy to send us up a blind alley.
Up a blind alley, Starsky and Hutch. Do you recognize that? Mm. Up a blind alley. Yeah. Speaking of border controls and not knowing what's around the corner. Okay. I guess this isn't border control, but I had a layover in DC on the way to Switzerland. Get to our gate. Time for boarding. I got my passport out. I've got my boarding pass out. They don't ask for either. They say, stand here. And they take a picture of me and they're like, great. Mark Batten, 42B. I'm like, what?
Thank you, big brother.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
It was a little unnerving. I'm like...
Looks like you've lost 5 kilograms.
Looks like you've got reindeer sausage in your backpack.
Are you just happy to see me?
Are you... But, like, I'm like, what is that based on? My passport photo?
Probably. Yeah.
It was because they didn't use... My passport photo didn't show up on the screen. I showed up on the screen.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Jurassic Mark 42B.
It's over, man.
It was freaky. I'm like, I've never gone through that.
The interweaving looks like your last 10 purchases on your Visa card are XYZ. Did you buy reindeer meat in Finland?
Anyway, up a blind alley is today's idiom. And I'll tell you this about going up a blind alley. It's a little bit different, but I visited Bern, Switzerland.
Bern.
And you got a bit of the story beforehand regarding a geocache.
Mm.
Got this. I'm like, what's nearby? And so it takes me to this cathedral, and the description, usually it's pretty, you know, the description tells you what to do.
Sure.
Typically.
Yeah.
All this one said was, when you're in the right spot, in a loud, clear voice, say the word geocache.
And so, which is so weird.
Yeah. So I'm walking around the outside of this.
We've done thousands of caches. I've never heard of anything like that.
I've never had to say anything out loud.
Right.
So I'm walking around it, and it's like not really getting me to the coordinates. And even when I guess, I'm like, there's no way this is the right place. And if somebody comes out of the, literally, there was a blind alley with like some graffiti and garbage. And I'm like, geocache? Nothing. So it looks like it goes inside. So I go inside. And this is obviously a tourist spot. It is a functional church as well, but it's a tourist spot. And I go inside and I'm like, oh man, do I need a ticket to be in here? So I asked somebody there. They said, oh no, you can totally tour the whole church. You just need a ticket if you want to climb the tower. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So I start to go in and I'm like, well, do you know anything about the geocache? And her eyes dart at me. She's like, maybe. I'm like, okay. I'm like, do I need a ticket for the geocache? And she's already ringing my ticket in. She's like, maybe. Cha-ching. I'm like, all right, here's my $5.
$5.
So I wander the church and I'm like, okay, time to go at the tower. And this was literally, we haven't gone into the definition of blind alley as an idiom, but this was a 400-year-old, I think, stone spiral staircase where you can't.
How many steps was it?
It was 360-something steps.
That's crazy.
Because it's spiral, you can't see anything.
Right.
Right. It's just endless climbing. Right. Where all I tried to film it with my glasses, mm-hmm. and all you see is like the passing wall.
It's right? Like an optical illusion.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, get all the way to the top, and you start to hear voices. And I'm like, okay, I'm near the end. Like, it got weird after a while. I'm like, this is endless.
Right.
And come up there, and the guy says, oh, do you have a ticket? And, you know, you're... I don't know how high in the sky. I'm not really scared of heights, but looking over the edge, once I was at the top of this tower, like my stomach was doing flip-flops. But it's, it's like I hand him my ticket and I just go, geocache? He's like, oh, once again. Runs inside the castle, comes out with a logbook to sign. And
That's so fun.
I'm one of the few.
The proud, the brave.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so fun. So,
but it felt like a blind, like I didn't know where I was going. Like I could not see more than 3 feet in front
Europe
of me the
entire
time.
It's got, just because of like clearly the history, like more in that thousands of years old era as opposed to our BC.
150
years. Yeah. Ooh, I found an arrowhead. It's 100 years old. You're like, ooh, that's pretty ancient.
Yeah.
Our heritage houses are like 50 years old.
Yeah.
And like everything over there is like 1,000 years old.
Exactly.
In Estonia, very noticeable as soon as you enter through the city is very much walled, and the streets are all curved. You can't see much more than 50 to 100 meters in any direction at any time.
Yeah.
Everything is curved, and I was like wondering about that. So I did a little investigation for the Villegitimate children to use around the water cooler.
Nice.
As to some reasons for doing that. So curved streets instead of straight. So if you've been in our neck of the woods, everything is straight streeted.
Yeah.
Very laid out, like graph paper, grid-like.
Totally.
But this town of Tallinn in Estonia, everything is curved. Okay. Reasons for. One, greater aesthetic appeal.
Okay.
When things are curved.
Is that true?
These are just reasons.
So little curve is more aesthetically pleasing.
Well, some people like big curves.
Oh, I just mean curved.
Yeah. No, some people like big curves, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
But regardless, the curvier, more aesthetic appeal.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, second one. Enhanced safety and reduction of traffic in curved streets.
Fair enough. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah, so because you can't see what's up ahead, you go slower?
Right.
Isn't that funny?
It's interesting.
As opposed to just straight line drag racing everywhere?
There's a lot of roundabouts in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So, and here, starting to be.
Good traffic control.
Slower.
Okay. Curved streets offer social cohesion and community.
Explain that one.
So the premise of it being that your visual, like if I can see 50-100 meters this way, 50-100 meters that way, that was my world. What was nearby visually was my community.
Hmm.
Yeah, as opposed to just laying stuff out, perpetually looking for like kilometers in one direction, that it provided a sense of cohesion and community by having curved streets.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. The fourth one, curved streets promote environmental stability. And of course they had to add something like that in, and I'm sure it's saving the world and polar bears don't die.
And diversity.
And turtles do not get straws in their nose if the streets are curved.
Right.
So that's about the same thing. The environmental stability, basically had to do with your ownership of an area. Yeah. And so if your home was here and you saw this way, you wanted to, the things around you...
Kept it tidier.
Tidier. And the curves created odd shapes, which promoted more, like, we're going to have trees and little definite space here because it's odd. Hmm. Some weird little triangle space. Well, I can't use it for anything. Let's have a green space. Spots.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it was part of their environmental. And then they didn't include this one, but I think it makes a ton of sense, particularly with these thousand-year-old type cities. I could see from a military perspective that you would be lost. Like if the army's coming through your gate, because right. It's walled, you're coming through.
But if you're local, you know.
Yeah, you're going through, it's like all you can see is like 50-100 meters in one direction. And then these blind alleys, it's like all you could see, it's like another curve branches off. You're like, where does that go?
And you don't know if it's...
No. Yeah. And stuff didn't all connect properly the way it does here.
Right.
It's not just like a series of curves that make a grid. It's just like, no, the street's done.
You got to know.
Yeah. So I think there must have been some military advantage.
Which, by the way, is what a blind alley means. We haven't said that, but it's a dead end. It's we'll get into origins, but it's a no exit roadway alley.
I did come across this on the net. What goes down a blind alley and has holes in it?
What goes down a blind alley and has holes in it?
Batman's parents.
Wow. Did you find a lot of, like, speaking of alleys, very, very narrow?
Oh, yes.
Very narrow. So in Zurich, in the heart of Zurich, everything's like these little... You couldn't get a vehicle through there if you wanted to in some cases. But one of the most interesting ones was, and this was only discovered, and you'll understand this is recent compared to the rest of Zurich, now that you've talking about the age of some of these places, is only about 30 or 40 years ago, one of these little narrow alleyways between these buildings got dug up for some reason, like just city work.
Excuse me.
And discovered... that underneath the building, they didn't lift the buildings, but they just lifted this alleyway, discovered a Roman bathhouse. So they've now left it exposed, but they still need it. So that it's like a metal grate over top of it with little crazy history plaques. I'm like, beneath the ancient city of Zurich, which is already old.
Lies more old,
like Roman bathhouses underneath.
That's nuts.
It's crazy. Anyway, super interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
excuse me.
Yeah,
this little cough.
Segues
through. I coughed for like 3 weeks. It was brutal.
You've been away for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
We haven't missed an episode, though, mind you.
We did not miss an episode. Okay, I was headed up a blind alley and got mugged by K-pop stars. Now I have BTSD. So ridiculous.
That's actually great.
But we should probably actually find out where it actually really comes from.
Well,
not just
Do you use this expression?
Not
up
really.
A blind alley?
No, it would be fringe, but it's in the vernacular. But yeah. It's not like how would you
have described it? I previously thought it meant like up a blind alley, like a red herring or wild goose chase kind of situation. Like, I went up a blind alley.
Throwing abandon without really knowing where you're going.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So,
I said some words. Not quite. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? No one can know. I turned around and looked behind. Those words came from.
So up a blind alley means you have gone up. You've been sent up a blind alley. You've been sent like you've met a dead end.
Yeah,
you've met a dead end. So if we get into origins, that's how it's used idiomatically. But it's not that far from just its literal usage. So the origin of the expression up a blind alley comes from the mid 19th century. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold too. Hundreds of years after alleyways that essentially led to nowhere were first configured. So the phrase is first seen in print. Should we pause? This is
bad. I'm not trying to cough like
this. Is it the almond doodler? Do you need to gargle some almond doodler with some reindeer meat?
I have no idea what sets me off, but once I get going.
Where's the whale meat from?
Oh my goodness. From Finland.
Oh, you got it all from Finland.
Yeah, they have the cool. So the idea was to bring back some cool sausages and stuff so that when it's like Christmas time,
yeah,
to be like, okay, we got some of my homemade salami, some reindeer, some whale.
That's great.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's a charcuterie, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Not whale blubber.
No, like meat.
Wow. So up a blind alley comes from mid-19th century, hundreds of years after alleyways that essentially led to nowhere were first configured. So the phrase is first seen in print in the late 1800s that I could discover with this example. So this is from the October 1874 newspaper, the Burlington Hawkeye, serving as an illustration. And it goes like this. If on account of these things the overthrow of the republicanism must come, as come it will, we had better reach our destination as quickly as possible, making the issue sharp enough to be understood by all the world and not be piddling along from year to year in a miserable blind alley of partisan passion and falsehood, getting weaker and weaker and poorer and poorer. So it's describing this no-win scenario. The idiom blind alley, other source said originated in the 17th century and was initially used to describe a literal cul-de-sac. So you would call a road that just ends, but it's, you know, dead end is a little different than cul-de-sac, but there's no exit. Like what you were talking about in Estonia, like probably a lot of those were intentional blind alleys. So a literal cul-de-sac or a dead end, but later evolved to represent any hopeless situation or endeavor. It is derived from the French term, allée coupée. Allée coupée.
Okay.
How is it derived from that? Oh,
allée coupe.
Coupe mean blind? Oh, wait, I should have just continued reading my sentence, which literally translates to cut off way. The phrase was popularized by poet and playwright Pierre Corneille in 1651 Tragedy, which is thought to be the earliest appearance of this term. The phrase is spoken in French and English in writing. It can also be used to describe any situation that has no foreseeable resolution or no way out. And then, of course, it can be metaphorically used to describe a person's life or a course of action that will lead to nowhere.
Yeah.
So, comes from real alleys, real dead-end alleys. Let's see, what else do I have here? Alleyways, blind alleys, avoid blind alleys.
Stuff that you don't think is that ends up going nowhere.
Yeah.
Blind alley.
I was trying to find some celebrity named Alley. By the way,
it's Ali Sheedy.
I know, Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
I was surprised when I went to prepare this. I'm like, didn't we just do this one? But we just did Up Your Alley like two or three episodes ago. So I apologize for the back-to-back Alley.
Well, there's not enough Alley.
But it made Riddlings a lot easier.
As I've always said. Well, I made sure to have a...
What's the difference between an Alley and a Lane?
Yes, I remember this now. It's coming back to me. on the cruise, of course, there's much eating. And in that vein, the desserts. Okay, what's the difference between then a Betty, a crisp, a cobbler, and a buckle?
I don't know. You get
up like apple crisp, apple cobbler, so a buckle. And they had to do with...
What's a Betty? I've never even heard of a Betty.
Yeah, there's a Betty. A Betty, a buckler, a cobbler, and a crisp. And they had to do with whether they had oats in the or not. Or
so
whether
that would be a crisp.
So there was even debate as to whether crisps required oats. I know, it's all stupid. It's all like just dumb culinary stupid, like looking
Wasn't
for...
cobbler just sort of a loose pie? My pie is a little loose. Oh, that's a cobbler.
You need some Imodium. If your cobbler's running loose, you got
to
get that.
It all has to do with the crust, not the contents, right?
Well, so one of them has like kind of dough balls in it, and one is kind of like
cobbler,
like cake,
Betty.
It's like cake. It's really cakey with the fruit, as opposed to a topping, or they're like right. cake balls.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, as opposed to like interwoven cake and fruit.
What's a buckle?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't actually know
No,
I thought you were going to define them all here.
No, we did earlier. We were looking it up. I just can't remember because it's so stupid. It's like the difference between a lane and an alley.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a Betty. It's a buckle. It's a cobbler. It's a crisp.
How was the food on the cruise?
Oh, it's great.
Just endless.
Yeah, of course, I ate way too much. So yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know, here's an interesting thing. While in Switzerland, we're getting into some controversies now or some conspiracies. While in Switzerland, I was with more Americans than Canadians, actually more Americans than Swiss in the crew I was with. But they were talking about how great the bread is and the cheese is, and it's all true. And they said, yeah, bread just does not taste the same in America. And I'm like, bread's pretty good, but, and then two different people, talked about how back home they have to be gluten free, but not in Switzerland.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know, you can eat. Yeah, I can eat any bread here, which immediately, you know, kind of made my conspiracy hat, spidey tingly.
So someone who's gluten free in America comes to Switzerland and they can eat any of the bread.
No problem.
Wow.
So I googled
some crazy
it.
This was not GMO thing.
Yeah, this was
Monsanto.
This was not a big deep. This was not a big
Roundup
search.
Kids running through fields being
exactly
weed, so round, weed repellent.
Yeah,
Roundup.
All of these things that most American bread would not be labeled as bread in Switzerland.
Hmm.
It'd be a bread like manufactured. So most of the bread we eat isn't bread, according to the rest of the world.
Before all this stuff came out, I loved Roundup. Like on a driveway, you're like weeds popping through.
I thought you meant on a dry piece of toast.
Oh, I love some Roundup.
Roundup.
Oh, yeah. You distill it down and just put it on toast. Delicious.
Is Roundup a pesticide or a weed killer?
Yeah, an herbicide.
Herbicide.
And so, yeah, it kills weeds in your driveway, but kills everything.
Okay.
Like it's a, yeah.
Interesting.
These
anyway, all of those things, or none of those things, our bread is inferior and causing problems, apparently.
That sucks.
I'm no scientist. I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat, but sometimes all the signs point a certain direction.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Well, so if you made your own bread, you'd still be screwed because of it's like right down to the grain level.
Yeah, so I was talking to someone local who, sorry, I should stop playing with the bottle cap. It's probably noisy. I was talking to somebody local after I got back, told the same story, and they said, oh, actually, do you know the baker in Fort Langley, blah, 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 blah? He gets all his oats and grains and wheats from Europe.
Oh, wow.
For that reason.
That's got to be costly.
Yeah, probably. But I'm like, interesting.
It must be feeling like shipping containers full of flour.
I don't know. Flour power.
Wow. that's awesome. Well, up a blind alley. All we do is head up in places that have no end.
That's right. Yeah,
that sums up the podcast.
It wasn't a deep...
Oh, look, something else that had no point.
It wasn't a deep origin story, but it was kind of interesting.
Well, let's just talk about this.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
I think we should talk about some riddle links.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Okay, well, it's coming.
Oh, riddle link is a game we like to play. Can you hear that?
I do.
That's better. Riddling is a game we like to play. It is a two-part trivia-based question. It requires a two-part overlapping answer, overlapping by word, syllable, syllables, multiple words, whatever. So, for example, last week, our idiom of the week was through thick and thin. And we left you with this. Get through this with this famous Girl Guide cookie. Get through this with this famous Girl Guide cookie. You want to give it a shot?
I'm going to go through thick and thin mints.
That's it. Through thin thick mint. And thin. Is it thin mint? Thin. I wrote down thin slice. I think that's wrong. I think it's thin mint. You're right.
Thin mint.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. Through thick and thin mints.
Which, when someone offers you a Girl Guide cookie and they give you a thin mint, you're like, can I just have the old style vanilla ones, please?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll way prefer those old style vanilla.
See, everybody seems. So the thin mint is apparently the most popular, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, Even I can't mint taste chocolate the... chip is not like...
No, I think they put Roundup in the Thin Mint. Made with Monsanto.
That's right.
Just kidding, Monsanto. Don't sue us.
No, today's episode has been brought to you by...
by Roundup. Okay, well, I've got a couple of riddlings prepared.
I do, too.
Well, let's get into this, then. Headed through a curved street with a Chinese e-commerce company. Heading through a curved street with a Chinese e-commerce company.
All I know is curved is more aesthetically pleasing. Chinese commerce.
So it's our idiom today. Heading through a curved street with a Chinese e-commerce company.
I'm stumped on the second half. So up a blind alley.
Oh, really? I'm shocked.
Alibaba?
Alibaba.
Oh, Alibaba. I was thinking, I don't know why I was trying to come up with a Chinese bank.
Oh.
So, yeah, retail or whatever.
Yeah.
Alibaba.
Alibaba, you nailed it. Express. I think the legitimate children probably beat you out on that one.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Okay, give me one.
I for sure got beat on that one.
I can beat the illegitimate kids.
Okay, how about this? When you find yourself in a dead end, but lob a ball into the air for the next guy to dunk.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to go one more time.
When you find yourself in a dead end, but lob a ball into the air for the next guy to dunk.
I'm going to go up a blind alley-oop.
That's it.
Yeah. There's an old song, Alley-Oop. Do you remember this one?
No, no.
Oh.
Tell me about it.
Alley-Oop, oop, boop, 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 boop. He lived way back a long time ago.
This is good.
Alley-Oop, oop. We'll find it later.
Okay, give me another
one. Second one. Korean boy band's flash memory card.
What?
Korean boy band's
okay.
flash memory card.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Oh, that's the whole thing?
Yeah.
Is it just BTSD?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's like, that's great. Okay, I got one more.
Okay, well, we'll save it for the illegitimate children. Illegitimate kids, we would love to hear from you. I can't even verify that you're ours.
No, that's why.
Unless there's some sort of test. You can't prove anything. But we would love to hear from you regardless on Instagram at the.village.idiom or email us at thevillageidiompodcast@gmail.com or whether it's the Facebook, the YouTubes, or the X at 3 minutes gone.
All right, here it is. The NFL's biggest day could be a strike in this lane. The NFL's biggest day could be a strike in this lane.
I got that. And that is 3 minutes gone.
I totally cheated.
Did you?
Those are the same riddlings as...
Really?
As right up my alley.
I made a fresh one.
I mean, I changed it. So when you find yourself in a dead end, you lob a ball. But the second one is
okay,
the same.
That's good.
So if you didn't get the last one when we did it a couple weeks ago, now's your chance.
Go back a couple episodes.
To beat dang.
Well, it was fun putting today's episode together.
I loved it.
That's great. I'm Skinny.
I'm Jurassic Mark.
And these are the Village Idioms.
Love is real. I'm up a blind alley.
That's 3 minutes gone.